Hi guys, it's Sydney, and I'm coming to you with a bit of an unexpected short notice announcement that Maya and I will be taking a break. We have had some stuff, I guess I will say, in the month of June that has really hindered us from participating in the podcast as we would like. Maya lost somebody very close to her, and we've both been dealing with some mental health and physical health issues. But we did not want to leave you guys without anything to listen to. So for the next 2 months, so for July and August, we will be releasing some of our joint Patreon episodes for you guys to listen to. They're very fun and they're very silly. We enjoy making them so much. They're not as serious or structured, I guess I will say, as our regular episodes, but we hope that they will keep you company in our absence, as well as new author interviews. We will still be doing those once every month, so you will be getting new content from us along with the Patreon episodes. We are so sorry for this unexpected update from us. We just have not been in a place to put as much love and time into this as we think that you all deserve, and we want to make sure that we are 100% for you guys. But I hope you can still find enjoyment out of the episodes that we will be providing to keep you company, and I just want to say thank you for understanding, and thank you for supporting us in any way that you ever have. It means the world to us. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this bonus Patreon episode.
Well, we already know what we're doing, but I wanted to read this fic ever since you fucking brought it up.
So good.
At the very beginning.
Darling of a fic. We love him.
Yeah. You, like, brought it up. I looked it up, like, that night. It's in, like, our very first episode, I think. You brought it up. I looked it up that night, and I was like...
Was it our very first episode?
Yes, it was literally our very first episode.
Whoa.
Yeah.
God. That means I've been sitting on this thing for, like, almost 2 years. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. And oh, I was like, God. One day I'll get to this. And I remember when we were like, oh, yeah, let's do, like, a Patreon. I was like, the first thing I'm going to be reading is this fic because I want to, like, understand and know.
It's good. It is. I would say it's a little out of your comfort zone. I don't know. It's Amnesia.
It is. Like, yes and no. Like, for the most part, it was fine. There was one massive fear I had towards the end, which I'll share with you. Okay. But, like, for the most part, it was like, yeah, it's sad. But it wasn't, like, so fucking sad.
No.
Also, it was short. I think, like, if it was any longer than it was, I might have, like, pulled away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, only seven chapters.
There's only seven chapters
because, like, 32,000 words.
It's real short. So the real fact short. That it's as short as it was, I was like, it'll resolve very quickly.
Yeah.
So what do you know about what do you remember? Because you said that it's been a while since you've read Three Sunflowers by Moon Mayhem.
Yeah, it has been a really long time. Because I think after I initially talked about it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, went through a phase where I reread a bunch of stuff, but then, it's been well over a year since I've read it.
Uh-huh.
So from what I remember, Kuro, right, gets into some sort of accident, and he forgets all about, it's an ex-reader, so all about the reader and his relationship, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of, like, the reader trying to, like, spur on memories. It's cliche. I'm not going to say it's not, but it's fucking cute, and I really like reading it. So, by the end, everything turns out fine.
Right.
So, it's not, like, a hurt no fluff or anything like that. It's just straight up, as you start hanging around him more, he's like, I really like hanging around this person to, like, all of his friends, and then he starts getting migraines, because it's, like, he's remembering, but also it hurts, and so... I'm pretty sure towards the end, the Kuro's dad tells her to just, like, leave. That
girlie, when I fucking tell you, that was the one part of the fic where, like, genuine tears because I was like, that's fucking wrong of you. That's so fucking cruel. For the most, for like a majority of the fic, I was like, yeah, that's pretty sad, but like, we're moving along. I was like, yeah, that's like, if I was in this situation, it'd be pretty sad. When that part came around,
yeah,
genuinely, I was like, that's fucking cruel. Like, even for a parent, I think, like, even like the situation that I'm thinking, him to be in, the dad to be in, I was like, that's actually really fucking cruel of you.
It is. And I'm, here's the thing, is I can see the line of thinking that the dad had, and so like, I can't be upset at it because it makes sense. Was it an extreme? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely it was. But then you get really cute and happy, like, I don't even remember how long she's out or they're out. But like, other people that knew Kuro and Kuro's friends see them around, and then, you know, they reconcile or whatever.
So you remember like a fair portion of this, actually. But yeah, it's the fic that Maya had brought to my attention that I read is called Three Sunflowers by Moon Mayhem, which started and finished in 2020. So it's like a good 2 years old.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
I think I read this legit like when it finished.
I believe you.
Because I just pulled it up and it says completed November 19th. I read this for sure in like November, December of 2020.
Yeah, and it's real short, 7 chapters, almost 32,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Curl X reader fic, which I love.
We both love Curl.
We love Curl. I have him tattooed on my body.
Yeah.
But honestly, even then, I don't know how you found it, because it has such little, like, if you think of in terms of like hits, it only has like 3,000 hits, like 250 kudos. Like, it's very like a little small fic compared to like other really like popular fics.
Yeah, I'm, now that I'm like looking at it, I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
It must have been like I went on the Kuro/reader tag, and I was just looking at them by recent, because I only look at completed works.
Oh,
so it must have been one of the more recent ones. Right, but the whole thing with like the flowers and everything, you got me. Usually I'm not into this kind of stuff.
Okay, but that's literally what I was gonna say, where you're like, this doesn't seem like a you thing. It doesn't seem like you would have ever fucking read this. It's so fluffy.
How dare you? I can enjoy myself every once in a while.
In 2020, you were a happier person.
Possibly. It is a little out of my normal realm. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, what I just described was we didn't even go over the flower stuff, which is, like, core part of this, as it's titled Three Sunflowers. Literally. It's like a core part of the story, so it did seem, I'm glad you liked it first off. I'm glad that you read it, because I don't know, the tags are memory lost, angst and feels, therapy, sad, grief, panic attacks, anxiety, stress baking, self-destruction, drinking, heavy drinking, excessive drinking, gaslighting, and then
But then it's like, there's a happy ending, I swear.
Yeah. And so, that's where you got all the girlies.
Yeah, they're like, happy ending? Ooh. Wow. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. It was a very sweet X-reader fic. And I don't know, like, it felt right. Like, there was just like a yes, this all makes sense. In terms of like adding a character in the group dynamic. I was like, yeah. Yeah, this makes sense.
I will say, now that I'm, like, remembering it, I think it's, like, the Mia twins at the end, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Which I still find a little weird. I remember reading it and just being like, okay.
Uh-huh. No, okay, like, so
You literally just threw in haiku characters.
Okay, I will say there are parts when I'm, like, actually going through the notes of this fic, there are, like, parts of it where I'm, like, okay, I didn't really understand that. Like, it seemed like the author took some, like, liberties with, like, the imagination of, like, how far I'm supposed to stretch my imagination with this fic. Which, like, happens with, like ship fics either. It's not just X-reader fics, obviously. But I did have some, like, parts where I was like, actually, like, So, but I'll get into that. So the fic starts in April 2016. Great. great time. I was just about to graduate from high school.
Damn, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I graduated high school in May in 2016.
Holy shit. Yeah. I was 15 years old. I was, God. Oh my God, what was I? I was a sophomore.
Yeah, but in the fic, it's Kuro's last year of college, and he meets you on the roof of the science building, and he's on an errand to the greenhouse, and he sees you, and he's like, wow, her, that one. She's the one, which already, you got me. Like, that's a fantasy. That's a fantasy. For someone to look at me and be like, that one, her.
She's gardening on the rooftop. Yeah. I want it.
I want that one. So you're talking about plants and shit, and I don't blame him. Like, people are really fucking really hot when they're talking about something they love or they're really just knowledgeable about. Like, that I'm like, yeah, that makes sense for, like, preach. You to be talking about something that you love or are really knowledgeable about, and they're like, fuck yeah, that's really hot, actually.
It is. It's There's so something hot. About it.
It's like, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're talking about something you're passionate about, suddenly you're like 1,000 times more attractive.
Mm-hmm. Forget everyone else is in the room. Just talk to me about the thing that you're interested in. Please and thank you.
Please and thank. I don't even care if I don't know shit all about it. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, for real, for real.
So ever since that day, he comes to the greenhouse every single chance he can to see you. And he wants to talk to you, but he has to find the courage to do so without having something, like, to talk about. Like, so he's like, I don't know how else to talk to her because I have nothing to talk to her about. So he goes to the local florist to see if he can find something to talk to you about. And the florist walks up to him and asks, like, what he needs. And he's like, I don't know. There's this girl. She knows so much about flowers and herbs. And there's just, like, I just want to talk about her. I'll talk to her, and the florist is like, well, like, when you look at her, what does she remind you of? And Kuro says, sunflowers. Mm-hmm. Which, sunflowers, three sunflowers, he says, she shines like a golden beacon when she smiles. Which is a fucking crime, how sweet that is. Like, come on.
Bro, they ain't even dating yet.
They're not even dating yet.
He's talking like that. What the fuck?
He's talked to you, like, once. Once.
Yeah. It is, don't get me wrong, if that happened in real life, I'd be like,
Oh, for sure. I think, man. Yeah, but they're, like, you know, how short, like, fics are so short that they'd have to be like, so you've been talking for a while without any, like, actual explanation with, like, you don't get to see that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, don't get me wrong, there are parts where, like, Kuro is talking and you're like, no real man would ever say anything like this.
Listen, I think that's a good portion of fan fiction, though, is being like, it's just men seen through the female or non-binary gaze, which is vastly different than what the men feminine would actually gaze. Do. Yeah.
Where I'm just like, what you're talking right now is amazing and perfect, but I know no man would ever say this in real life.
True.
So, anyways, Kuro gets the flowers, and the florist says, if you come back and tell me what she says, then you can have these for free. Which, like, me. I'm nosy as shit. I'd be like, tell me everything.
Spill the tea.
Spill the tea. I want to know everything. So then the fic skips to December of 2018, and it opens on this line. The two of you seem to have a very loving start to your relationship. We did. We started dating after that. And I ended up meeting the florist he purchased the sunflowers from after he gifted them to me for the 10th time. Every week, he would go there and buy me at least one sunflower, depending on the supply. Two and a half years later, and he still kept it up. He told me the day he stopped bringing me flowers would be the day he stopped loving me, and that day would never come. You hear this, and then boom, you're at a fucking therapist's office. You're talking to a fucking therapist the whole time because you guys broke the fuck up.
Yeehaw.
Which, fuck you. Like, I don't know. I was not expecting the sad part to come as quickly as it did. I don't know why.
Really, less than 32,000 words. We gotta get through it.
No, but I, like, wasn't expecting it. Like, for some reason, I was like, yeah, the end of chapter one is when the sad shit, like, the actual accident happens.
Nope.
So, like, the you're, like, talking, and you're like, oh, yeah. And then suddenly your therapist, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
What's Wait, two going seconds, on? Please.
So, yeah, then you say my boyfriend was in an accident while he was on the phone with me. We were having an argument. He suffered a blow to the head and was knocked unconscious. When he woke up in the hospital, he didn't know who I was. He had no recollection of ever meeting me.
Damn.
Fucking heartbreaking, dude.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, like, how fucking dare you?
Like, and sinker, baby. Like,
not only does he not remember you, you were on the phone with him when he, you heard him get into an accident. Mm-hmm. Like, no fucking shit, you have to be at a therapist's office.
Why do you think I was intrigued in this story?
Like, that, I feel like that part of the fic doesn't get dived into as much as, like, I would have liked it to. But also, I just really like depth and, like, really flowery and, like, give me as long as you fucking can. I feel like the part that, like, yeah, it's really sad that he doesn't remember you, but the fact that you had to listen to him get into a car accident and couldn't do anything. You didn't know where he was. You couldn't, he's not talking to you. You just had to sit there and, like, listen, basically.
Listen, we are focused on repairing their relationship.
I know. So, the fic has the gall to push me 1 month before when he is waking up and he doesn't remember you. And it's so fucking heartbreaking because he wakes up, he sees his dad. He's hugging his dad. He's crying. And then he looks at you and he's like, who are you? Sorry? You're just like, huh. Like, there's so many times in this scene alone where it's just blow after blow. Like, Kuro doesn't remember you and his dad's taking him home and he wants you to bring all of Kuro's stuff from your apartment together back to him. And it's just suddenly just so many things walloping you all at once.
But Kenma's there for you.
Kenma is there for you, which is, like, very nice. But even, like, when Kenma is there, like, you don't want to tell him everything. Like, okay, there's a part where he's like, it's okay to cry. Like, you're at the apartment, you're bringing his stuff, and Kenma's like, you can cry, it's okay. And you're like, not yet, not until you leave. Like, not until I'm alone in our apartment and, like, I can't hear his, like, laugh echoing through my head. Like, even then, you're like, I will not cry in front of everyone. Which, you.
How dare you?
So my, I see good how lady. You resonate with this YN.
My dear lady. Such slander in the court today. What the fuck?
It's not slander if it's the truth.
Whoa. Y'all.
So here's the first instance where I had to, like, look up, because I didn't know anything about amnesia. Like, I don't think I've really read an amnesia fic until this one.
Really?
Like, yeah, I don't really think so. Like, I don't think I've ever really, like, sought out an amnesia fic. Mm. Nor, like, do I think there are really that many of them. Like, I think the trope is there, but, like, I think out of the fan, like, the common fanfiction tropes, that one's, like, the most prevalent, right? Just because I haven't, like, come across them that frequently. So I didn't know that much about amnesia. So, I had to, like, look it up because I was curious. I was curious, like, how amnesia worked, right? So I looked it up because, okay, hold on. I need to take, like, 3 steps back. Okay. So the thing about, like, Kuro, like, because you have to lie to him about, like, why his stuff is at your apartment, and you're like, oh, we're friends, and you were crashing with me for a couple days, and, like, you basically lie to him that, like, you're in a relationship, and you do this because he has, like, headaches if too many of his memories come back at once, right?
Yes.
And so I looked that up because I was like, that doesn't sound right, and it's just me being the human being I am, which I need to, like, fact check. And, like, everything needs to be accurate, which is not the case. Like, fanfiction can be so imaginary as fucking possible. But I just looked it up for my own situation. And, like, specifically, if you looked up, if you're not allowed to tell people who suffered from, like, post-traumatic amnesia things about their life in order not to stress them out or something like that. And I couldn't find, like, anything about it. Like, the only thing that I found is that you actually should talk to people about their pre-injured life in order for them to, like, reconnect, like, with their life as seamlessly as possible.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You got the science, right? This is the amnesia trope.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I can't tell them anything.
Uh-huh.
Because why would I, you know? Right. So.
See, but okay. So here's my thought process, though. And I don't want to, like, shit on the author because it is still a beautifully written fic. And it's still heartbreaking. But like, I think it would have been just as fucking heartbreaking if you went off of like actual people, like things that people have to go through with, like, you're trying so hard for them to remember and they just can't. They're like, I cannot remember you, because it gets so frustrating and like, so like, you're so impatient for them to like remember you and stuff like that, that it gets just like, it's, you still have that heartbreaking factor with like the other character who doesn't have amnesia. And this is just me nitpicking. Like, this is just me nitpicking. So anyways, like I said, you go back to your place, Kenma gets his stuff, you leave, and, you know, you actually do cry when he leaves, blah, blah, blah. Kenma goes back to Kuro with all of his stuff, and within that time, he has forgotten that he lived with you again. Like, such a short amount of time that he was like, oh, yeah, her. Totally forgot about her again. Kenma pulls out his wallet, and he finds a photo to give to Kuro with, like, more seriousness than he has ever done anything in his life. And he says, can you do me a favor and remember her? My heart stopped. Damn. My heart stopped. I had to, like, take a lean back in my seat where I was like, Kenma.
Kenma. He's putting in the work.
He, literally, though. So he leaves. Kuro looks at the photo, and it's of him, Bokuto, Hinata, and you. And Kuro feels sick, and he stumbles back, and he, like, catches, or his dad catches him. And he gets him inside of the house when Kuro says that he thinks he remembers you, like, a little bit. And it's just, you're just so familiar. And his dad tells him not to, like, push himself. But that makes Kuro mad, and he's just like, I'm not trying to force myself, Dad. I don't like that I've lost the last couple years of my life. I'm 24, but I only remember the first few months of being away at 22. Like, I have missed everything within the last couple years. Which is, I think, a frustration that I understand on both sides, of the dad not wanting to have his son be in pain, but also Kuro being like, I want to remember my life. It's really frustrating that I cannot remember anything about my life.
Yeah, no, that's why, like, at the end, as I mentioned earlier, yeah, where it's just like, I fully understood the dad's line of thought.
Right.
Did it make it right? No, but no. I understood.
So Kuro leaves to take a bath, and when he takes his jacket off, yellow petals fall to the floor, and they're sunflower petals.
Aya!
A reoccurring theme! So Bokuto comes to visit Kuro the next day, the day after he gets out of the hospital, and it's very sweet because Kuro's family, like, asks about you, but Bokuto really can't give him that much of an answer because you're not emoting well. You're like, it's okay, guys, I'm fine. Like, you're not really telling your friends anything.
Yup.
yup. But he goes to see Kuro, and because he's Bokuto, he makes a very grave mistake, which he brings you up, which makes Kuro ask who you really are, because he's not stupid. Like, he obviously knows that you're not just friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bokuto's like, fuck, I fucking messed up. But back in your apartment, Hinata, Atsumu, and Sakusa are not letting you be alone. Like, they're being very good friends and not, like, they're just filling your life with, like, loudness and nonsense so that you're just not, like, stuck in your own thoughts, which is very sweet. And also, mm-hmm, like, very them. Like, I think that they wouldn't know what to do, but they would just be like, we're gonna be around and just be chaotic so you can't think of anything else.
Teehee.
Yeah.
We're gonna trash your place and you're gonna like it.
You're gonna like it. But it gets really quiet when Kuro is finally brought up, because, like, they all know, like, it's a very touchy subject. And, you know, they're waiting for your reaction, and you don't give the one because you're, like, very determined not to, like, emote at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there is, like, there's no need. Like, what can I do? And I can't, like, I can't say anything to Kuro. So there's, you know, nothing will come of me being sad, blah, 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 whatever. Until Atsumu receives a text stating that Bokuto-san told Kuro to come to the next game to meet you again.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. So Bokuto's like, oh, who is she? How about you come to the next volleyball game and you can meet her yourself again? Yeah. So everyone else is super optimistic and they're telling you it'll be okay. Everything will work itself out. And you're, like, starting to believe them again. And the only thing is that, like, doubt sets itself in again when they leave. Like, when you're when you're with them all of their optimism is like, yeah, he's going to remember you. It's going to be great. And you're like, yeah, he will remember me. This isn't permanent. Like, it's just going to take some time. But when they're all gone, you're like, fuck, what if he never fucking remembers me? Mm-hmm. Like, what if, you know, you tell him that the two of you were more than just friends and he wonders what he ever saw in you, right? Like, those worries set in you, like, when they all leave. And then we get a flashback to a really, really bad night that you two had. And it was a really bad fight that left Kuro super frustrated and upset. And it turns out that it wasn't the first time that you ever doubted that someone like him could have ever loved you. And Kuro doesn't understand why, which is a very, like, difficult thing to do when you're in a partnership with someone, to be like, I don't know how to tell you that I love you without, like, telling you. Like, I don't know what to do to make you believe me.
Yeah.
So there's this line that I thought was, like, really, really profound, and it says, questioning someone's love when all they do is provide a never-ending stream of it is hurtful and messy. It's like playing with fire, hoping that you get burned, if only to be affirmed that you're still able to feel.
Girly.
Yeah.
There's a reason I kept reading this.
I mean, I don't think there is another YN that's more like you in the entire world.
Whoa!
I'm just saying!
I feel a little attacked right now.
Literally last episode, you were like, I read sad fics to still know that I feel things.
Damn.
I can pull up the seats.
No, it's okay. It's all right.
In the flashback, you go find Kuro, and he's sitting at the dining table writing on several sheets of paper, and you ask him what he's doing, and he writes down couple more lines before looking up at you, and he says, I'm writing down everything I love about you, why you deserve all I have to offer, and all the things I'll do for you until you get it through that beautiful thick skull of yours that I only want you for the rest of my life.
Bing bong.
Which, again, is the most beautiful line that no man will ever say to me.
Nope.
Oh my god, it's so heartbreaking.
Maybe in my wildest dreams.
Maybe in my wildest dreams to know that, like, wow, that was such, I wish someone would ever say that to me. But if I continue to date men, it will never be said to me.
Nope. Not gonna happen.
Oh my god. So yeah, that line hurts the reader just as much as it hurt me. But it upsets you that you made him feel this desperate to explain his love to you, like he hasn't done it every day since you've gotten together. And you say, Tetsu, I'm sorry. I love you so much. And you show me every single day how much you love and cherish me. Sometimes my brain tells me that your love isn't as full and plentiful as my heart knows it is. Are you still upset with me? And he says, I am, but only because I love you so much. And you say, okay, when will you ever be done filling out the list? And he says, probably never.
Damn. That's what we want, girlies.
Is it too much to ask? I don't think so.
Apparently, yes.
Apparently, it's too much to ask for. But you find that notepad again after they all leave to hope that it makes you feel just a little bit better. And I pulled out some of the things that he fucking wrote because, Jesus fucking Christ, I can't. I love the way your fingers dance over plants like you're trying to figure out how they feel. You make me a better person. My mom would have loved you. Kenma told me that he'd slander me on the internet if I'd hurt you. Your smile reminds me of sunflowers. You're patient with me when I'm not easy to be around. When you wake up and see me looking at you, your eyes crinkle when you smile. When your smile reaches them and your cheeks turn pink, you chose me. That's a fucking crime. That's not happening to me.
It's a little too much to ask.
It's a fucking crime that's not happening to me right now, actually. So you expect to cry after reading them, but the words just light a fire in your heart because the man you love, who loved you just as fiercely, is underneath the injury and the memory lost, and he's not gone forever. So the day of the game is even more nerve-wracking than you initially anticipated, and Bokuto finds you first, and his energy wanes your nerves a little bit until you hear Kuro. Sorry, I got a spam call.
Yeehaw.
It hadn't been, you know, long since the last time you heard him, but you feel like you've just been, like, starved of, like, you've gone from, like, spending every single day with this person to, like, not seeing them for, like, several days.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really know what to do, and it's a little a little awkward when the players have to leave, but it doesn't take Curl long at all to ask, like, the question, who are you really? Like, you said you're my friend, but I know you're something more. He says, when Kenma dropped off my things, he gave me a picture that he had in his wallet, and I could see it happening. Like, the picture was moving, and I could hear you laughing. Kenma, he asked me to remember you. And you're fucking about to cry. All of those feelings that you had buried are threatening to come up to the surface, and you shouldn't, like, you shouldn't have come. You should have stayed home. You can't fucking breathe. And then a hand takes yours and places it over his beating heart. And you look at Kuro, who looks just as scared as you feel. And he says, breathe with me, Petal. And that fucking word, that's your word. That's his name for you. And it's enough to shock your system into calming down. You drop his hand when you're calm enough. And for the rest of the game, he uses his use of the name Petal echoes through your mind. So, like, it's just, like, enough of his old self coming through the surface that, like, he called you Petal. And you're like, whoa.
We stand.
So, sorry, what?
We stand.
Yeah. So the game ends and you try to leave as quickly as possible, but Kuro grabs you right at the last moment and he says, can I see you again? We went to college together and we sort of lived together. You can help me piece back. You can help me put together the missing pieces, right? And you're like nervous. You're like, I don't know. And he says, can you try? For the briefest moment, you can see the man that loved you in his eyes swimming near the surface, but not close enough for you to grab. And maybe this was your chance to toss out a life preserver and you say, I can try.
Damn.
I know. It's like, you know, they say it's going to be a happy ending, but you're like, when? Please.
When?
When?
How much longer do I have to wait?
Literally. I was like, how much pain does this person have to be put through? Oh my God.
More.
Ugh. So Kuro texts you the next day trying to keep good on his promise, and you end up making plans for lunch the next day. And that's when you get another flashback. And the flashbacks are so cute and they're so fluffy that, like, for a moment you forget the kind of story you're reading until you're, like, back into the sadness. Like, you're like, oh my God, like, oh, they're so cute. They're having lunch in the garden and their banter is so cute and it's all so cute. And then, like, bam, back to sadness. So you meet Kuro on that same rooftop garden today for lunch, and you're quiet, you're letting Kuro guide the conversation. It's very reminiscent of the first conversation you ever had with Kuro. And then he walks over to some flowers and they ask what they mean, and your mouth goes dry. And you say that flower is Aster Tatarius. They mean remembrance. You would gift it to someone to tell them, I won't forget you. Metaphors, damn. metaphors.
That boy be picking out the one and only flower in that fucking garden.
Literally. That's like, haha. That means remembrance, that you would never forget me, but you fucking forgot me. Also, I just thought about this. Like, how fucking tragic is, like, out of the entire friend group, you're the only one that's been forgotten. Like,
I mean, if you've only known each other for 2 years.
I know.
And the other ones have known him since high school.
But, like, that, not only, like, are you, like, the girlfriend who's been forgotten, you're, like, the only friend that's been forgotten, which is, like, then isolating you even more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least it would have been easier if you were in a situation where, like, other people were also forgotten. So you're all just like, yeah, it kind of sucks that he all forgot about us, but, like, it sucks extra for you since you were dating him. Like, it all kind of sucks equally.
Teehee.
So, you know, Kuro knows he kind of unintentionally fucked up, but you let him know that it's not his fault, and it reminds you of the first time you ever met. You eat, you cook Kuro his favorite meal since you promised that you would make it for him before his accident. And here we get Kuro's point of view, and as he watches you cook, we're watching a man fall in love again. And there is a quote that says, this recent version of him has known you for 2 handful of days, has interacted with you once more outside of the hospital, and he already feels a burning in his lungs and a fond ache in his chest. The old version of him saw much more of you, knew much more, and probably helped you with your plants whenever he could. And for a brief second, he pondered the theory of loving you.
Damn.
The lines in this fic are so fucking good, dude. It's a banger. Oh my God, they're so good. Pondered the theory of loving. Like, what the shit, dude?
couldn't be me.
Oh my god, it's so good. But okay, so after this like beautiful and gorgeous line, Kuro, the version of him now who knows nothing, he starts to believe that the old version of him was literally just your friend, but a friend who was madly and secretly in love with you.
Okay.
Like,
pop off, King.
He literally was like, maybe we were just friends, but like these feelings that I have, like, they are no way that like I'm just having these feelings now. So maybe like I was always just in love with you. Which like this fit could have gone like if a totally different direction if he didn't get his memories back, right? Like, so there's a quote and it says, silently he settled on this thought before a pain burst behind his eyes. There are glimpses of him hugging someone with his face buried in their neck, camera shutters of laughs and hand-holding, blurred shadows of slow dancing. He couldn't make out the person with him in any of it, but a faraway voice said that it could be you. And before he can fully get a hold of his memory, you pull him out of it, worried from how pained he looks. After lunch, Kuro walks around the apartment, hoping that something will trigger his memory again, and you explain some of the photos to him, memories of the hold him. But you slip up and you call him Tetsu instead of Kuro. He doesn't miss that. And he also doesn't miss the sunflowers on the bedside table either.
Yeehaw.
Honestly, this could be a really great fucking movie. Just with like the over, like the line of the sunflower alone. Like, I could see it. Like some Nicholas Sparks beautiful movie. Like,
symbolism.
Symbolism. It's so good.
It hits hard.
Oh, but anyways, we're going back to fuck up. So we sort of learned before in the fic that you believe that it was your fault that Kuro got into his accident. But here we learn that there's more detail. It was the night before his birthday and he had promised to be home by 6. And you'd worked on dinner for a while. You had presents. Everything was ready for him. But it was 7:30 and you hadn't heard from him. And he was getting out of a meeting super late and you were pissed on the phone. And this is what I fucking mean. There's a line that literally says, the worst sound that screeches in your ears is that of an accident and the crunching of the metal in the vehicle. Traumatizing. Traumatizing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So literally, there are so many things that are like, he was on the phone because you were pissed off at him. So like the last thing he heard of you was just you being really pissed off. Like there was no like, I love you, I'll see you soon, drive safe. You were just pissed off. You heard him get into it. There's just so much. There's just so much.
Not enough time to unpack.
So after that first lunch, Kuro has been making it a point to make you a part of his life more. He asks you about his memories, pictures he found on the phone. He texts you good morning. He checks in on you on your work while making sure that you've eaten. And the further away you get from the accident, the more his friends get comfortable and slip up. And yet with all those little slip ups, Kuro doesn't seem to be remembering you. And you only really tell Kenma that you're afraid. And
afraid that he'll never remember.
Yeah, you're just like, do you ever think that he'll remember me? Like, it seems like he's getting his memories for everything else back. Like, whenever you go through the pictures with him, like, I think it's mostly like, is he not getting memories of me back because I refuse to mention our relationship? Like, because we're not bringing this up. Like, are we making the wrong decision?
Yeah.
So you're terrified. Life still unfortunately moves on and Christmas is coming up and there's no better distraction than planning a party, picking out a gift for Kuro, and everyone helps. And again, like I said before, it's easier to manage when you're surrounded by all of them. But it's when they all leave and you're cooking for tomorrow's party that all those thoughts break the dam. The number of times you've thought about telling Kuro that you love him, but you have to bite your tongue each time. How it's been a month and you still sleep in his clothes. How the memories he's been getting back have somehow made him feel even more distant than when he looked at you and asked, who are you? And you want to scream and cry and hide away from the world because you're allowed to still be upset about what happened. You're allowed to be scared for tomorrow. You're allowed.
It's only been a month.
Like, it moves so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I say, all the trauma. All like, I'm glad that like they at least say that you're going to a therapist, but like still all that trauma.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And like also, like obviously we know because we're reading a fan fiction that like everything will be fine, but like could you just, like, imagine being in that situation, not knowing if everything's going to be fine, like, not knowing if he's ever going to remember you, like, just having to, like, wait with, like, do I move on eventually? Like, do I wait for him? Like, what if he never remembers me?
That's why we run away from our feelings, ladies.
Yeah.
Tee.
So, on Christmas Eve, you tell Kuro to find you as soon as he gets to the party because you have a gift for him. And as much as Kuro tries to haul ass, he gets swept away by so many people who haven't seen him in forever. And he's still trying to piece together who they all are. But at the end, he's desperately trying to find you, and he finally sees you. And you're singing and laughing with Bokuto. And at first, it brings a smile to his face because he loves to see you having fun. But then Bokuto twirls you around in his arms to the music, and there's a high-pitched ringing sound in Kuro's ears. He hears music, your voice, your singing and dancing, but this time you're in his arms. He has you close to his chest. There is a moment when the two of you are chest to chest, and he is gazing into your eyes before he kisses you. And then he's falling. In the last few seconds, he sees a blurry vision of you and Bokuto. Before he passes out, he smiles because his mind is filled with memories of you. Everything is you. You're able to catch Kuro, but everything moves so fastly. Someone's calling the ambulance, another person is getting him out of your arms and onto the floor. The paramedic's taken away, and you can't go with him. They leave you sitting on the floor alone with only Kuro's broken Christmas present around you. And you don't deserve any of this, because now you feel the worst you've ever felt since the accident. And this is, okay, we're getting into the dad part. It's going to take me a bit, because I was so upset.
It hurts. You recapping, like, the wow, he finally remembers, and then he, like, passes out.
Yes,
that's a lot.
So much. So Kuro's dad is, I don't want to say kinda, because he is. He's blaming you because he doesn't know how to regulate his fucking emotions, and he doesn't want to lose his son. Like you said, it's understandable. Does it make it right?
No, absolutely not.
Because, like, you're like some, let's say you're as old as Kuro is. You're like some 24-year-old. You're just some kid. Like,
you're doing the best that you can.
Doing the best that you can with all of the trauma that you have held, all of the worry and the stress. Like, you understand, like, where the dad is coming from. But at the same time, I was like, fuck you, dude. Like, I couldn't. Like, I really couldn't.
Damn. And you know what? That's why we run away, ladies.
So, all you want to be is by Kuro's side, but now it looks like that's hurting him and you and everyone even more. So Kuro's dad visits you at your apartment, and he says, I've come to ask you to allow Tetsuro to heal. Each day he spends time with you, he comes home with a migraine. Being around you forced his memories to come back in a way that is detrimental to his health. I know what I'm asking you, and I know that it's cruel of me to take him from you more than what I've already done, but I'm worried for him. And it's entirely too hard to breathe. You try to catch your breath. Try to take a deep inhale, but everything hurts. And you say, okay, I'll go. I have plenty of savings, and moving out of the city is best if you want me to get out of the way.
Damn.
I'm just shaking. I can't even read that again. You don't understand. Like, I sat there being like, like I said, the whole fic is really sad, right? It's a fucking, it's an angsty, very sad fic with a happy ending. That was the one point where I was on the verge of tears.
Really?
Yes, because, like, that's not fucking fair. It's not even kind. It's not considerate. It's not understanding to the other person involved. Like, I couldn't believe what I was reading, like, from a grown-ass man. Like, I understand where he's coming from. But the fact that you're like, I'll leave. Like, not only are you leaving Kuro, you're leaving everything that you know and love. You're leaving your friends, you're leaving your home, you're leaving, like, everything. And out of the entire fic, that's the cruelest thing that could have happened. Like,
damn. I didn't know you would be so, like, passionate about this.
I just couldn't believe that I was, like, sitting there and reading about this grown-ass man coming to a fucking 24-year-old girl and being like, I want to hurt you even more. Like, again, I understand, but I'm a really fucking upset about it because I was literally putting myself in that situation, and I was just ready to cry because I was like, that's not fair to me. Is anybody gonna look out for me? Like, what? Like, I know it's selfish, but, like, what about me? Is anybody, like, I understand that Kuro is hurt, but, like, I feel like other than Kenma and a handful of her other friends, like, everyone's been looking out for Kuro more, and, like, that hurt me. Like, that physically hurt me.
Damn. I'm actually, like, genuinely surprised that...
Really?
You are, like, this worked up over it.
I don't know. Like, I feel like whenever I read YN fix, like, I really do try to put myself in that situation. Just because I'm like, I want to get the most out of a YN fic as possible. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'll put myself in the middle of that. I literally lost it. I was like, how dare you ask me to leave not only Kuro, the love of my life, but everything I know. This is the town that I went to college in. Might be the town I grew up in. I don't know. You're asking me to leave all of my friends behind. Like, yeah, that was the moment where I was like, that's the cruelest thing you could have asked of me. Because that's not fair of me. What, like, does anybody care about, like, the pain and the trauma that I am going through after, like, basically, like, she is grieving the love of her life without actually losing him. And that's, like, so hard.
You bring up valid points.
Thank you. Thank you. Like, again, I understand where he's coming from. I understand that the dad has already lost his wife. Kuro is his only child, and he doesn't want to lose him. But, like, fuck, dude. Like, what the fuck? So yeah, I don't know why that part, I was like losing it. I was like ready to cry. Like I was like verge of tears being like, that was the cruelest thing you could have said to me.
Kenma's looking out for us though.
Thank you, Kenma. I always know Kenma has my back.
We love Kenma.
So anyways, Kuro's dad thanks you as he leaves and he says, thank you for letting him go. And you say, I love him. And you stare at the closed door while your eyes begin to swim with tears. A gasping sob releases itself from your chest as you crouch down, knees pressing against your chest. I don't want to leave. That fucked me up. That fucked me up.
You were already crying.
I was already crying, and the I don't want to leave? Fuck, dude. Fuck. That's on the equivalent of someone being like, I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
Yes. Yeah. That is a Peter Parker.
Yes. 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 Oh my God. That fucked me up. Anyways, I don't want to talk about this anymore. So Kuro begins to hear his surroundings before he wakes up. Like he's having a moment where like he's still in his like, he's still asleep, but he is like having an out of body experience. Right.
Hmm.
And in his room, it's his dad and Kenma. And Kenma is looking for you. No one can find you. And Kuro's dad tells him that you left. You left the city at his behest, and he doubts you'll ever come back. And right then, Kuro remembers you. He remembers every day, every smile, every laugh. He finally remembers you. Please don't take her away from me again.
Damn!
I literally, this is... Kuro wakes up with every memory he lost. Kenma doesn't know what to say. He's also reeling from your loss, but he gives Kuro his Christmas present from you, and it's the last thing you left for him. It's a letter and a beautifully made picture frame. He takes out the letter first, and it reads, simply, your existence is enough. This bitch knows how to write. That's all.
How does that make you feel, Sydney?
That fucked me up, dude. I can't, like, the lines... The writing in this fic is incredible. It's good. I literally would have taken 300,000 words more of this. Like, I couldn't. Like, the writing in this is so immaculate that you're like, holy shit. Like, those lines? Fuck, dude. So Kuro goes to Kenma and he says, please help me find her. Before Kenma can answer, nurses and their friends swarm into the room checking on Kuro, but Kenma still traces OK onto Kuro's arm.
Yeehaw.
And you spend New Year's alone at some bar. And if you're lucky, and if your luck couldn't get any worse, the bar's owner is one Mia Osumo, which is what you were saying, that the twins got involved.
Yeah, but now that, like... I opened up the fic, so I've been kind of following along with what you're saying. It does make sense, because the other twin is a like part your of friend. Team. Yeah.
So, you're pretty clumsy on your feet, because you're kind of drunk. And Mia steadies you, and he's determined to get you home, since literally everyone he knows is looking for you. But you refuse to go home. So he gets you upstairs, and since you're a bit... since you're a bit of a mess and he tries to get any information out of you. But just from looking at you, he knows that you're not okay. So he makes a phone call and he says, hey, yeah, we found her, but I don't think it's a good idea for you to come now. Give her time. She's still hurting pretty bad. I'll let you know how things look in the next few days, but I ain't gonna tell her shit about you getting your memories back until I know she can handle it. Understand, Kuro.
Damn.
And this was another part of the fic where I was like, why did you not tell her right then and there about his fucking memories?
She is fucked up.
I know that. Like,
she is drunk as fuck.
Okay, dude. I will tell you that I read this fic practically in one day because it was just like, it gripped me. It gripped me so hard that I practically read it in one day. And after the emotions that I had from the dad thing, I was basically, I was on a high of being mad at everyone, right? I'm not gonna lie. I was on like a high of being mad at everyone. Also, I remember at the very beginning of this episode, I said like I had one fear.
Mm-mm.
My fear was that since you left, that it was gonna be like a 2-3-5 years later kind of situation.
Oh,
and you like lost so much time. Like the entire time I was reading this fic, I was like, yeah, no, this is gonna be fine. You're gonna have a happy ending. And then I got to this point in the fic, and I was like, I have one fear.
Oh no,
I have one fear.
Well, lucky you.
I thank God, right? But yeah, I did have that fear that you guys were gonna have like so much lost time because you left like right before he got his memories back. I was so afraid of that. So that's why I was like, why did you not tell her? Because I was so afraid of that. So it takes them until February. So another month passes until they tell you that Kuro got his memories back, but you don't believe them at first because it's been too long. So Kita, he takes you to the hotel you've been staying at to find Kuro waiting for you to actually believe them. Like, it takes you until Kuro's right in front of you to actually believe that he remembers you.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm so glad it only took a month. Like, when I was originally reading this fic, I was like, why?
7 years later.
I was so scared of that. When I originally was reading this fic, I was like, why did it take you so long to tell her? But reading my notes back now, I'm like, okay, thank God it only lasted a month.
I mean, here's the thing. Yeah. I sent you this fic, so it very easily could have been 10 years have passed.
Right. Oh my God. Like, I was so afraid of that. And like, the thing is that, like, I didn't really expect it to be, like, super angsty just because it's not, like, one of your more recent fics. If you were like, hey, I read this last night, I would have been like, Maya, no. I would have been like, no.
It would have been funny, though.
Yeah. And also, this is, like, at this point, we're, like a chapter, two chapters from the end, or, like, the chapter before the last chapter or something. Yeah. So it was either this or the very next chapter was going to be like a 10 years later and you meet again for the first time. So I was so nervous. So when you see Kuro, you're crying, you're throwing up, you know, everything that you've bottled up comes out violently. And now it's all fucking messy because you're like, I was hurting you. I put you in the hospital and Kuro's worried that you have moved on. Two very different fears, right? I can't imagine being Kuro. Like, we don't get, a ton of Kuro POV in this, but, like, I can't even imagine, like, have you already moved on by the time I remember you? Like, have you already, whatever, like, the fear.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 3 months, I think, at this point, roughly.
Roughly 3 months. But even still, like, you know, it's one of those things of, like, can our relationship come back from this?
Yeah.
So, you know, Kuro says, let me take care of you tonight just until you're sober and then you can tell me to stay or to leave. And it feels surreal to wake up beside him again and you allow yourself the time to take in his features. His complexion looks awful and his cheeks have sunken and you're careful not to wake him. Your fingertips reintroduce themselves to the curve of his jaw, the point of his nose, and the plump of his lips. With his arms wrapped securely around your waist, he had you pressed close enough to count every eyelash. and he hasn't been eating, so you tell him to stay for breakfast. And you tell him everything, every moment of being just his friend, every word his dad said to you, and Kuro cries. Again, if I could find a man that emotionally available.
Mm-hmm. True.
That's the dream. And he says, I'm sorry I've left you alone for so long. And you say, you're here now, aren't you? You're here and you know me. He says, I am, I do. You'll come back home, you'll stay. And you say, with you, always. And then Kuro kisses you like you've been dreaming ever since he woke up without a single memory of you. He whispers his love for you against your lips before sealing the words into your skin. He says, tell me you love me. Please, Petal, I haven't heard it in so long. Gazing into his eyes, your hands now framing his face, you kiss his left cheek, I love you today. His right, I love you tomorrow. His forehead, I love you next year. And then his lips, I love you forever. Kuro brings you home and you arrive to all of your friends, and it's there, surrounded by everyone who you love and loves you, that Kuro gets down on one knee and asks if you'll have him for better or for worse for the rest of your lives. And that's Three Sunflowers by Moon Mayhem.
Whoa!
It's so fucking cute. Oh,
it's really good.
It's really good. There's also an epilogue chapter I left out. Mm-hmm. Of like
that you should go read
that you should go read of them like after marriage, like they're already married and stuff. It's very sweet and it makes up for all the shit that happened in the fic.
Tee.
Oh,
you know me,
it was very good. Maya, it's a very good fic.
It's a very well written fic.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible.
I'm glad you liked it.
I literally, like, I was sitting down to be like, okay, well, I have, like, about a week to read this fic. I read it in, like, one sitting. I was like, please, I need the happy ending now.
I mean, Moon Mayhem, who read it, did a fantastic job.
Incredible Superb. Job.
So like, fucking good.
I had my nitpicks, but at the end of the day, they were just nitpicks. Like, it was just me being, like, very nitpicky. Because otherwise, yeah, like...
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say otherwise. It's like it's a beautifully written fic. Like all of those lines I said, I would easily get like any of that shit tattooed on my body. Easy.
Really?
Simply, your existence is enough. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's fair. No, you're Look, right. I'll give you that one.
Like their writing is incredible.
Yeah, I was looking at their profile to see if they've written any other stuff mm-hmm. I might be interested in. It looks like a lot of Tokyo Revengers, which I
haven't read.
And then it looked like they had some My Hero Academia one shots, okay. Which I might read. I don't know, but yeah, the Crow one for sure. Pick? Huh?
Is it still all YN?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
YN for various characters. So
oh yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, but. Thank you for bringing that to my attention, because I don't think I would have ever found that fic. It's so
It's
good.
Very small.
It's very short.
Yeah. It's good, though.
But, yeah. Honestly, like, I need more of that, because I feel like, I don't know if you do the same thing, but I feel like whenever I try to look up YN fics, and I search by, like, kudos or something, the first page is all just, like, one-shots. Like, compilation yeah. one-shots.
And I feel that's gonna be, like... That's the case for most YN stuff.
Yeah.
At least most YN stuff that I've read.
Uh-huh.
It's just, that's what the girlies like.
I know. But it's so hard to find otherwise, because I'm just like, oh, I have to go through like 6 pages and then and yeah.
Dedication.
Dedication. But it was very good. I loved it. I loved it. I didn't know I was going to have so many emotions for such a short little fic.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Sitting here and listening to you like... be so enraged.
I was so mad.
Something I wasn't expecting to listen to today.
I wasn't either. Like, I felt like if the fic went on as it did, that decision by that old fucking crusty man, I was like, how dare you?
Damn. That's your father-in-law.
Yeah, I know, right? He apologizes to you at the end of the fic. It's very sweet. Mm-hmm. He was like, I shouldn't have done that. And I was like, fuck yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
Damn, Sydney. Lay off. Jesus.
Sorry.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fanfiction recommendations, or if you're a fanfiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3!
And we'll see you guys next time!
Bye! Bye.